With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how are you today?
It's a beautiful day, my friend. We're in week 14, man. I think this is what we wait all year for, right? It's the home stretch. It's where we have to be sharper than we've ever been before, because those who are in the playoffs are going to rely on us to make some of those tough decisions. And I look forward to the challenge at hand. And we have one of my favorites in the industry on to talk about it.
Oh, we do. It's good, because you and I were talking right before we got on about some tough decisions that you and I have in our own leagues. We were talking, going back and forth about it. So hopefully our guest here can help clear some of that up. It is Paul Charchian, the CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com. Charch, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Dan, Mike, it's great to be here. Very excited. You were nice enough to have me on the show last year, and I'm excited for a repeat appearance. And this, the first round of the playoffs.
I mean, this is a big one. We saved you for a big one, okay?
A lot of pressure.
It's a ton. All right, so it's going to be Start Sit Day. You know what we do. By the way, I think I forgot to mention Charch's Twitter handle. It's his name, Paul Charchian. Anyway, it's Start Sit Day. You know what we do here. We talk about some guys we don't like, some guys we do like, some deep sleepers, all that stuff. But first, finally, I can announce the winner of the November giveaway. It is Michael from Wanta, New York. Thank you for entering the contest, Michael, and we're going to, as you guys know, we're doing the December giveaway. That is the James Robinson autograph. Tell me again, all you need to do to be entered is to leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter it. All right, guys, let me get into some news items very quickly before we get into the Start Sit show. Antonio Gibson has been diagnosed with turf toe. He is unlikely to play this weekend against the 49ers. I'm going to hold off because I imagine we're probably going to be talking about J.D. McKissick at some point, maybe Peyton Barber. So we'll hold off on the impact of that. But Joe Mixon isn't going to play this week, maybe not for the rest of the season. We'll have to see. Charge, let me ask you real quickly. How do you feel about Gio Bernard here against Dallas, knowing now, seeing what happened to them last night, seeing what happened to their run defense all season long? How do you feel about Gio here in this game?
I wish he was playing better going into this game, because he's been, you know, straight up bad. And of course, they lost their starting tackle this week as well. And you know, Jonah Williams is a sizable loss, first rounder. And that makes an already bad offensive line worse. So you know, that somewhat offsets Dallas giving up the second most rushing yards in the league, 5.1 yards per carry. And that's the upside here is pretty substantial for Bernard, who doesn't share a ton of work with Samaje Perine. And I've got him at a reasonable ranking in Giovanni Bernard right now, sitting at running back 15, which is a little bit of equivocating, but I think there is, you know, because it's Dallas, there is some sneaky upside against a team that just got smoked for 300 rushing yards.
Yeah. What do you think, Tags? Where do you have Gio right now?
I have him as my RB21, and I like him there. I think I feel confident about it. I think there's a floor to be had. There's been 13 running backs who have rushed for at least 60 yards against Dallas. And again, when you look at the offense and you're like trying to figure out what Brandon Allen's doing and the targets to the running backs, Giovanni Bernard's gotten some of those. But news came out that obviously Auden Tate, he's out for the year. T. Higgins also reportedly tweaked his hamstring at the end of their game against the Dolphins. So he's very questionable for this game. So suddenly we're looking at a lot of questionable marks. The offensive line's is obviously a problem. Jonah Williams, as Charge mentioned, he's out for this game. So you could be looking at some of those quick dump off passes against Dallas. Running backs haven't actually got a whole lot of targets against them, but I think part of that is comes down to the fact that there's plus matchups all over the field and teams just haven't had to basically dump it down to those guys. But the Bengals are running out of bodies, and Bernard should be a lock for, I'd say, 12 to 15 touches against this team that's been, let's just say, less than efficient on defense.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be one of those, you know, classic ones that we've talked about this year, which is, oh, I don't really feel comfortable starting Gio Bernard in my, you know, playoff matchup. And he's a must-start option, and you have to get him in there because that's just kind of – that's where we are at running back. Unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey, goodness, limited with a shoulder injury and a thigh injury, which is a new one. We'll have to monitor his progress. But, oh, my goodness, if you made it to your playoffs and you have Christian McCaffrey, we are all hoping that you are rewarded and he can play. DeAndre Swift returned to practice in a limited fashion. Good sign for his availability this weekend. Kenny Galladay, though, still not practicing. We are not expecting him to play. Mark Andrews was activated from the COVID-19 reserve list right before we started recording, so that's, of course, a good sign for his availability. Drew Brees likely will not play this week. They're still targeting week 15, so it's probably going to be one more week of Taysom Hill here against Philadelphia. Denzel Mims is away from the team with a family issue. His status for this weekend sounds a little bit up in the air, but we don't know for sure. And Daniel Jones looks likely to play against the Cardinals this weekend. So that's good news there. All right, let's get into some start sit here. Everybody knows the expert consensus rankings. That's where analysts all around the industry submit their rankings. We get the consensus or the aggregate. So we'll talk about some borderline guys here, guys outside the guaranteed starts, guys we are fading, all the good stuff. So let's start with running backs and let's start with you, Charch. Name a running back here who's outside sort of the guaranteed start, usually top 20 in expert consensus ranking, that you're kind of excited to start this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ronald Jones against against the Vikings, and he's always an extremely tricky start and, you know, fraught with danger always. But the Vikings run defense has struggled a little bit lately, allowing 135 total yards and a touchdown per game to the position over the last three games. And really, this largely hinges on the Vikings star linebacker Eric Kendricks and his ability to come back from a bizarre untouched pregame injury that went down last week. And we saw James Robinson roll the Vikings. So that's, I think that's a key component to this game is watching Eric Kendricks. And if he can come back, and if he can, I think Ronald Jones becomes, you know, he's never safe, and I'm not going to say he is, but at that point he becomes somebody that I'm a lot more interested in.
I was going to ask you, Charge, are you at all sort of influenced by the comments, you know, the Bruce Arians? You can fill a small country with the number of positive comments you know, Bruce Arians has made about Ronald Jones over the years, only to not follow through on them. But are you encouraged by the fact that he's like, oh, we've got to get this guy 20 touches? Or is that just coach speak? Doesn't matter. You're just still excited about him regardless.
Dude is a bald-faced liar. I can't trust anything he says. I mean, how many times have we been misled by what he says? And yeah. I think if there's no coach, there is no coach that you can really bank on doing the opposite of what he says more than Bruce Arians. So I put basically no confidence into those words.
Ditto with me, and yet he is also, for me, a guy who I am definitely starting this week if I roster him. How about you, Tags? Are you confident in Ronald Jones this weekend?
Yeah, I got Ronald Jones as my RB16 this week. I found an interesting stat on him. If you look at NFL's Next Gen Stats and look at basically what they do is figure out what a running back should be getting every single time they carry the ball based on the number of defenders that they see in the box, how close defenders get to them, how many yards before contact his offensive line is creating for him. Ronald Jones is averaging 1.19 yards per carry over expectation. That's per carry. That's massive. There's only one running back in the league who has a higher number than that, and it's Nick Chubb. On the flip side of that, Leonard Fournette is averaging negative yards per carry, below expectations. So something we all kind of know and love about him. So I do think that Arians, that there's something to this, and it's not because, you know, because he's just saying it. I think it's just because it's apparent what's been happening on the field. And Tom Brady, is he declining? Is he not? We don't know. I think it just happened to be a string of tough matchups. They also were a team that didn't have their bye week until, you know, week 13. That's really tough to do in a week where in a year you had no preseason to warm these guys up. So Ronald Jones is going to come back fresh off that bye against this Minnesota defense that's kind of banged up. And they faced 23 carries per game to running back. So yeah, I'm definitely into Ronald Jones. The reward should be worth the risk.
Yeah, and again, I think the risk is somewhat mitigated by what we've seen recently. I mean, his biggest game came after he fumbled on the first drive, right? And that's always been the worry. You miss a blitz pickup, you fumble right away, and that's it. You're in the doghouse, you're gone. We're not going to see you again for the rest of the game, kind of like what happened at Zach Moss in the Bills game. But maybe it really is that, oh, okay, perhaps our team is just better when Ronald Jones is on the field, so we will leave him out there, even if there is some sort of snafu in the beginning of the game. All right, Tags, let's go to you. Who's a running back who's not a guaranteed start, who you are looking to start this week?
I'm going back to J.D. McKissic. He's a guy that, you know, we didn't really want to talk about. We didn't even want to pick him up on the waiver wire this week because we said, you know, with Antonio Gibson getting a bigger and bigger role, it's like eventually this is going to taper off. And we felt like the matchup against the Steelers was terrible for someone like McKissic because they hadn't allowed a whole lot of production through the air. He catches 10 passes. I mean, this guy, it's kind of ridiculous what he's actually seen. If you go back to the start of week 4, he has seen 69 targets. No other running back in that time has seen more than 55. I mean, that's more targets than Jerry Jeudy's got in that time frame. So he's basically being treated like a wide receiver. Peyton Barber is somebody that is not good. And he's also going against the 49ers run defense, who's been extremely good. So and you look at the 49ers and you say they've been leaking a little bit against running backs in the past. Devin Singletary had some production last week against them, 6.22 yards per target. So when you look at McKissic and say, well, this guy's probably going to get 8 to 10 targets from Alex Smith, I'm down with him as like a low-end RB2 that you can plug into your lineup and get at least a high floor.
Okay, I will do my usual caveat, which is to say that Peyton Barber, whatever insults you're going to throw his way, is better at playing football than you are at anything, Tag.
Correct.
Just so you know.
Correct.
We've got to point that out. Got to make sure I point that out. Charge, let me ask you something. What do you think? We know, I mean, assume, of course, Antonio Gibson is out this week. I mean, the thing with McKissic is he seems to get most of his production when they're trailing, right? And I don't know whether or not that's a guarantee in this game against San Francisco. It didn't look great, of course, against Buffalo. So how do you view McKissic this week?
Very similarly, you know, when you're going to get nothing out of Peyton Barber, and that suggests to me they're going to have to throw to him on a regular basis, and they might even run to him a bit. And you got to pick your spots, but this certainly feels like one of them. And anytime the running game is struggling, that seems to be when you start to get better games from him. We want those double-digit target games that he's capable of. And, you know, when he gets those, he's got really RB2 upside sitting on him. And that's this. I think San Francisco is going to absolutely squash this tepid Washington offense. That's, you know, with all the great things that Alex Smith has done just to get back on the field, he cannot lead a downfield passing attack at all. And I don't see Washington getting a lot going. And I think they're going to be playing from behind and passing throughout in this game.
All right, let's put a couple of names. Let's compare a couple. Let's do half PPR, guys. So that's the format we're looking at. Tags, would you prefer J.D. McKissic or Damian Harris this week against the Rams?
McKissic, for sure.
How about you, Charge?
I've got McKissic at 21. I've got Harris sitting at 36. Holy cow. That's
so
why
we're not
spot
close.
Him. He was so far down. Holy
all right, cow. All right. Let's start with you, Charge. Then. McKissic or what about David Johnson against Chicago?
I've got them right next to each other, 21 and 22. You know, for David Johnson, you know what you're going to get, which is, you know, lukewarm running with an opportunity, a coin flip's chance at a score, modest production. The Bears have allowed 3 rushing scores to backs in their last 2 games and given up 9 on the season. And that's the easiest way to beat them is on the ground. So I think Johnson gets plenty of work here.
How about you with that one, Tags?
I have Johnson slightly higher, correct? Yes.
Okay. Very good. I also have Johnson slightly higher. All right, let's go to wide receiver, guys. How about someone who's, let's say, someone ranked outside the top, you know, 30, somebody who's not a guaranteed start that you want to go, but you're looking at starting this week. Let's start with you, Charge.
Oh, I'm so excited about this one.
Oh.
Robbie Anderson is, in fact, this whole game is just fascinating, dripping with intrigue, if you ask me, as Carolina goes up against a Denver defense that is reeling in its secondary. So if you go through it, they're without their suspended cornerback, A.J. Bouye. Their slot cornerback, Isang Bassey, tore his ACL last week. And the only good cornerback they even had with Bryce Callahan is on injured reserve. So that means Vic Fangio's got to patch together some kind of competency with rookie Michael Ojemudia, who is Pro Football Focus's cornerback 101, and some combination of 3 guys who have never started a game between Duke Dawson, Devontae Bosby, and Kevin Tolliver. None of them have, I think the high watermark on total snaps for a career between them is like 30. And we don't know what's up with DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. So whether or not they're going to get through the COVID protocol. So, you know, in, And even if they do, you can make a case for Robbie Anderson against this secondary. And if they don't, I particularly like him here.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is there is all this uncertainty. So it sounds like, again, and this is just from an Ian Rappaport tweet, that's all we have to go on it, that DJ Moore was actually someone who tested positive and that Curtis Samuel is just a close contact. So let's assume they both play then. You're still good with starting Robbie Anderson, though, in this matchup. Is that right, Charge?
Yeah, I am. And okay. I've got him ranked at 26 right now, which I think is going to be higher than most have. And I think that might have been outside of your criteria, actually. But I think you asked for higher than 31. Yeah. But I think most people, how about this? Most people have him higher than 31. So, yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
I have Robbie Anderson at 18. So,
Come on,
Charge. Come on, get with the program here. By the way, Charge, this is what we do on this show, without a doubt. It's usually me. I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy this week. I have him here. And then Tags or Yates will come up and be like, I have him 13 spots higher than you right now. So that's just what they like to do. Don't take offense to it. Go ahead, Tags.
No, Anderson, he's been a guy that's been seeing a whole ton of targets. And, you know, Charge already talked about the cornerbacks that are dealing with those. Once AJ Boye was basically put on suspension because of the performance enhancing drugs, it was like, okay, the floodgates have opened. I don't know if they have a cornerback that could even come close to hanging with them. And even with those guys healthy in the secondary this year, this is a team that's allowed 8 different wide receivers to post 80 plus yards. And I do not, for the record, this ranking is without DJ Moore in the lineup. I do not expect DJ Moore to play, because not only did he was a positive test for COVID, but he also suffered that ankle injury at the end of their last game. So basically he hasn't been able to be at the facility to rehab it or anything like that. I'm guessing that they're going to go ahead and basically work through the game plan without him. And on top of that, I might move Anderson even higher if we hear about Christian McCaffrey not being available, because he's someone that was going to steal a lot of work in the passing game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this Broncos team, I'll tell you what, I feel like Vic Fangio has just, like, he became the head coach, and then all of a sudden it's like things went to hell, right? He didn't have an offense. He hired the wrong offensive coordinator. And then it's like, all right, we're going to bring in Pat Shurmur. We're going to have him call plays. He's an offensive guy. I'm going to worry about the defense. Then it's like all of a sudden Von Miller, Jarrell Casey, Mike Purnell, all these cornerbacks. Everything is just going wrong for this team. And they've still somehow been somewhat competitive, which is really weird. But at the same time, enough is enough. And Robbie Anderson absolutely needs to be played.
Hey, and let me jump in and let's just hit on Curtis Samuel for a minute here. Mm-hmm. Samuel's been, you know, over the last 5 games, he's had 4 really strong fantasy viable games. And I went through and I'm trying to find any cornerback on Denver who's ever played from the slot. And I can't find more than like 2 plays from the slot from anybody on roster. And the slot's a different beast. Uh-huh. You can't just, you know, move a guy in, especially the green inexperienced corners they've got. Samuel could be sitting on a really good game too. And I've got him sitting right now at wide receiver 16.
I love that you brought that up, Charge, because I tell people that all the time about slot cornerbacks and the fact that, you know, when you're a perimeter cornerback, you have the sideline. It's almost an extra defender. You have a safety over the top. When wide receivers go in the slot, you're basically covering 360. They can go anywhere they want. You're not going to have safety help because you can't tilt coverage to someone in the slot. That's why we love it when our wide receivers go into the slot. So I love that you pointed that out. And yes, again, this team, it wasn't really deep at cornerback to begin with. And so with their top 3 cornerbacks hurting, it's not good.
Yeah. All right, before we keep going, let me tell you guys that I have been playing the board game Life a ton with my kids lately, and there are these action cards sometimes where it's like, choose an opponent, describe your perfect party, have your other opponent choose which one he or she likes best, and the winner gets $50,000. As the dutiful father, I always throw my response, right? Like, my perfect party is being surrounded by snakes and spiders and a pit of fire. Oh my God, you're choosing my son's football party over that? How could you? Oh, well. And there was one that said, describe a perfect meal. So I at least got to be honest here, because my answer was a perfect steak that I don't need to go out to a restaurant to eat. Now, I knew that my son was going to prefer my daughter's answer of endless cake, but that's all right. I don't mind losing, because I know I'm going to get my perfect meal this month, because last week came our big cooler filled with dry ice and perfectly aged 100% American grain finished steaks from Omaha Steaks. You know Omaha Steaks already, right? High quality meat delivered right to your door. Right now, you need to go to omahasteaks.com, type Fantasy Pros in the search bar, and get the deluxe grillers assortment. It's $129.99, but you're going to eat for weeks. 4 famously fork tender butcher's cut filet mignons, 8 boneless chicken breasts, 4 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 4 individually wrapped scalloped potatoes, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets. Again, use our code FANTASYPROS in the search bar. You will get a free digital meat thermometer and 4 free Omaha Steaks burgers. Feed yourself now and through the holiday season. Stay home, send unforgettable gifts, and eat great steak with the best steak of your life, guaranteed. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Fantasy Pros in the search bar, order today. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Fantasy Pros. All right, Tags, let's get to you. Who's somebody outside the top 30 you're looking to start this week?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to probably regret this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is digging a little bit deeper, and I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. You know, the last time they played against the Chiefs, you know, he didn't see a whole lot of targets. I think he saw 3 or 4 targets in that game. So a lot of people are going to be worrying about him and saying, well, are they going to phase him out of the offense? I don't think that's the case at all. I think it was just a matter to do with the matchup. We saw Jerry Jeudy basically get nothing against them the last week because they are a tough team against wide receivers. Going back to the start of the 2019 season, they have allowed the fewest yards per game to wide receivers. So let's look over at the Vikings and say, who are your cornerbacks that we're going to pick on? There have been 22 different wide receivers who have finished with double-digit PPR points against them, so there's plenty of room for multiple wide receivers to produce. Brown has played 85% of his snaps in the perimeter, which is actually a good thing in this matchup because that's where the Vikings have struggled the most. Based on their alignment and where he's at most of the time, he's going to see a lot of Cam Dantzler and Chris Boyd in coverage. Those two have combined for 745 yards and 5 touchdowns on 86 targets. So I understand that Brown hasn't lived up to his reputation yet, but being that they worked through the bye week, you know, he was a guy that was seeing consistent targets before that Chiefs game. I'm willing to trust him as a wide receiver 3.
All right. This is the second buck here that we're already talking about. Charge. I'm very interested to hear how you feel about Brown, and then I'll chime in. Go ahead.
Well, I'm in Minnesota. I'm familiar with where the secondary is, and Cameron Dantzler, their cornerback, has gotten a lot better in the past 3 or 4 games. In fact, he's the defensive rookie of the week this week. But the other guy you mentioned, Chris Boyd, is a disaster and does not belong on rosters, let alone in a starting lineup. And this is a great opportunity for Antonio Brown. And, you know, I think he can easily end up out. This feels like a potential passing shootout. Vikings have really, the secondaries is all kinds of problems for them, and including in the slot with Jeff Gladney's no great opportunity either. So there's a good opportunity for Antonio Brown. I think I've got him sitting at wide receiver 32. But what you've just said is enough to make me start reconsidering. Maybe I might bump him up a little bit. And I probably am putting a little too much weight into last week's game, but the opportunity against Chris Boyd is fantastic.
All right, let's compare him to a couple of guys who are right near him in ECR. Tags, would you prefer to start, again, half PPR leagues, mm-hmm. Antonio Brown or Jarvis Landry?
Antonio Brown.
How about you, Charge?
I hate Jarvis Landry's matchup this week. I'm Antonio Brown as well.
Antonio Brown or Brandon Ayuk against Washington, Tags?
I will also go with Antonio Brown.
How about you, Charge, on that
one? I have Ayuk 1 spot higher this week.
Yep. All right, last one. How about Antonio Brown, Tags, or Cole Beasley against Pittsburgh?
Ooh, yeah, I have Antonio Brown. If you want to play it safe, I think Beasley's probably the safer play because the Bills are not going to be able to run the ball in Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh has been dealing with some injuries and like they continue to pile up here where that defense is going to start looking worse and worse. But again, they did stop the run last week, so that's not really the problem. But in the secondary, they've been really good in the short area passing game. But Beasley, again, if they're going to throw the ball 40 times like we anticipate them to, I think Cole Beasley is someone that's going to catch enough balls to give you a high floor, where I think Antonio Brown maybe offers the higher ceiling.
How about you, Charge?
I'll just add on to that and say, you know, he'll draw Mike Hilton a lot, and mm-hmm. Hilton gave up 8 catches last week. So I think if you just want the volume play and to make sure you get your catches, I agree with you on Cole Beasley.
All right, let's move to quarterbacks here. Let's talk about, you know, again, a guy who's not necessarily a guaranteed start, maybe outside the top 12 in expert consensus ranking. Who are you looking to start this week, Church?
Well, I was going to use Teddy Bridgewater, but we already really talked through that scenario pretty completely. You know, Teddy is generally a low upside guy. I think he's got 1 3 touchdown game in his last 20 starts. But again, with that secondary, I think Teddy has got unusual upside. I can see the 3 touchdown game happening potentially here. So he's somebody who's outside of that range that's got upside that you wouldn't normally have.
Yeah, Tags, what do you think about Bridgewater this week?
I'm torn on him because it's just like, is he missing enough weapons to the point where I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? Denver has been really struggling to stop the run as late as well. Ever since they lost Mike Purnell on that defensive line, they've been like basically bleeding production to the running back position. So if Christian McCaffrey's out, if DJ Moore is out, we're expecting Curtis Samuel to play, but if those guys are out, I mean, it's just all of a sudden, who is he throwing to? You know, you start trying to figure that out, and that's the problem, right? Because Robbie Anderson's not really a red zone guy, so they might give those touchdowns to someone like Mike Davis. So Bridgewater, I think he can be an interesting play depending on who's available to him. But if he has everybody healthy, then you're absolutely going to you're willing to stream him. Yeah.
All right, Tex, how about you? Somebody outside the top 12 in ECR.
I'm going to go with Charge's favorite guy in the entire world to talk about on Twitter. And that is Kirk Cousins. I should say his followers' favorite person to talk about. Because
it is. I have quite the running duel with the agitated Viking fans on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, people see the Bucs and they get worried about the matchup, but it's more a matchup to worry about for running games. Like, you know, Dalvin Cook is going to struggle to get much going on the ground this week. So we're going to see Cousins drop back a little bit more. You'd have to go back to week 6 to find the last time that the Bucs did not allow a quarterback at least 2 passing touchdowns. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, they allowed Patrick Mahomes 462 yards and 3 touchdowns in week 12. But the week before that, it was Jared Goff throwing for 376 yards and 3 touchdowns. What has Jared Goff done this year that worries you? Kirk Cousins has actually been one of the best quarterbacks in football when you break it down from an efficiency standpoint. Like his quarterback rating, his yards per attempt, his touchdown percentage, all of that is there. There have been just 7 games all year where Kirk Cousins has thrown the ball more than 26 times. He has scored at least 17.6 fantasy points in 6 of those games. I mean, the only concern that you have for him in this one is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do bring some pressure. And that's where Cousins has struggled, is when it comes, like when he's under pressure. But with Justin Jefferson making a name for himself, Adam Thielen in the lineup healthy, Dalvin Cook has been using the receiving game a little bit more. They need to find ways to get the ball out of his hands to like eliminate some of that pressure, and then things will open up down the field. So I like Cousins as a top 12 quarterback this week.
Charge, let's make your followers mad. What do you think about Kirk Cousins this week?
He's in the middle of the best stretch of fantasy games of his career, 3 touchdowns and 300 passing yards in 3 straight games. And that's something that he had never been able to put that kind of streak together. You hit on one of the key metrics that I've got for Kirk Cousins already, Mike. In games with 27 or more passes, he averages, you mentioned, I think, 17 fantasy points, 294 yards, 2.5 touchdowns. So will he throw 27 passes?
Oh, yeah.
11 of 12 Tampa opponents have thrown 27 or more passes. If you can't get anything going on the ground, in all probability, and we'll talk about Dalvin Cook a little later on in the show. And the last 2 quarterbacks to face Tampa threw 49 and 51 passes. So the volume is coming to keep Kirk as a safe player. He's my number 11 quarterback this
week. Love it.
Yeah, he's just on a great roll. 14 touchdowns over his last 5 games. Let's make a couple of choices here. Would you rather start Tags, Kirk Cousins, or Matt Ryan against the Chargers?
I'll take Cousins.
How about you, Charge?
I have 10 spots between them. Cousins with a bullet.
Okay, I love it. How about Tags, Kirk Cousins, or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, that's where I might go Roethlisberger. The Steelers have not been able to run the ball. And when you look at that Buffalo Bills secondary, I don't think they have the depth to hang with the Steelers pass catchers. The weird part about that game, though, and maybe you guys can give me some insight, why the hell are the Steelers projected for 22 points? Like, I started going through it and I was like, it's like one of those times where you look at it and you're like, am I missing something? Because, I mean, the Bills have allowed, I think it's 25.6 points per game. The Steelers are one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. Sure, they've lacked a little bit the last 2 weeks, but that was against Washington and Baltimore, hardly the Bills defense. That's the part I worry about. You know, like when you look at team implied totals, I think you have to factor that in. But, you know, if they're projected for 22, I guess Roethlisberger should score 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about that before we went on. How do you feel actually about that? First of all, let me ask you, Charge, would you prefer Cousins or Roethlisberger this week?
I have Roethlisberger a couple of spots higher.
Okay. Yeah. Do you? We don't really understand. We also don't understand the line, Tags. We talked about it, right? Yeah. You're already in on Pittsburgh getting the 2.5 points, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a weird line for me. But yeah, I have Roethlisberger a spot ahead of Cousins as well. That's where I am with that one. But yeah, they're both good options. And yeah, Kirk Cousins, I mean, I use the phrase a lot, circle of trust. He's kind of there at this point. And I'm, you know, with this one, he's going to have to throw because the Bucs are going to put up points. So I think it's going to be another good game for him. Let's go to tight end, though. Give me somebody who's not a guaranteed spot here at the position. Charge, we'll start with you.
Cole Kmet. I'm basically asking him to put together his first ever fantasy viable game, but it could happen here. His snap count's gone way, way up the past 3 weeks. He's been above 70% in 3 straight games, and Jimmy Graham's really seeing the opposite of that going the other direction. It's Houston. They've given up big games in the not-so-recent past to TJ Hockenson, but also Ryan Izzo, Tyler Eifert, but for 48 yards. Touchdowns to Jace Sternberger, Anthony Firkster. I mean, this is, needless to say, a defense that you can do a little something against. And I think with the added playing time, and to my eyes, Mitch Trubisky actually looked pretty good last week.
Yeah.
So I think all I need is capable play from Mitch Trubisky, and I'll put Cole Kmet on his first meaningful fantasy game.
Yeah, and against Houston, I think that's what you're going to get. In fact, I was going to list Trubisky as somebody who I might be willing to roll with here, who's outside the top 12 in ECR. Again, the only worry would be that they'll just run nonstop over Houston, which they should be able to do. But yeah, I mean, Kmet, as you mentioned, he has seen a great increase in snaps. He's running more routes than Jimmy Graham. So I like the call, Tex. Hey, look, it's your team, Tex. How do you feel about Kmet?
I mean, the only thing I worry about is that they're still playing Jimmy Graham. In terms of the routes run, they're splitting it, where Kmet ran 20 routes last week. It was 15 for Jimmy Graham. I know it was a 7-1 target differential, but that's the part I worry about. I it's almost like I prefer the tight ends that I'm playing to be running 30 routes per game. And Kmet is still a rookie, so we have to temper expectations. He has looked good in the opportunities he's gotten, and I think the Bears definitely should move to him because Jimmy Graham is, well, he's been dead for a couple years, let's be honest about it. I think we all know how I felt about that signing when it happened. I was legit in a bad mood for like the rest of the night.
So I think all NFL fans were tagged.
Made no sense. I mean, if you're going to go out there and sign Jimmy Graham, go after Brady. You know what I mean? Like, you might as well do that, but whatever. So come on. I don't necessarily want to be tied to the Bears offense. The guy on the other sideline is actually a solid play too, Jordan Akins.
Okay, let's get to him in a second, but I want to ask you, Charge, what's the number that you have Kmet actually ranked this week, if you have that up?
Number 16.
Okay, yeah.
Tied in 16.
That's good, because I think he's, 23rd in ECR. I'm higher as well. I mean, I don't have him 16th. I think I have him 18th, but yeah, he's a guy who's definitely. And once you get to that range, I talk about this every week, like the difference between my number 10th ranked tight end and my number 18th ranked tight end is nothing. It's like, you know, less than a fantasy point. So I like it. All right, Tex, was Akins your guy, or is there somebody else that you're looking
at? There's a lot of tight ends I feel are like a streamer worthy this week. So it, like the rankings, I'm going to be working through that. But one guy I was shocked to see outside the top 12 was Hayden Hurst. I understand that he struggled in two of his last three games, and I want people to know that two of those three games where he struggled were against the New Orleans Saints, who are a team that has been dominant against tight ends ever since they allowed Darren Waller that big game on, I think it was Monday Night Football. That was back in week two, by the way. But Malcolm Jenkins basically came around and he started playing better and better, and they've just shut down tight ends. So don't worry about those two games with Hayden Hurst. Going at a matchup against the Chargers, the Chargers team has allowed over 2 PPR points per target to tight ends. That's the 6th highest mark in football. They've allowed a tight end touchdown every 8.4 targets. I mean, Hayden Hurst was a guy that was giving you a high floor that everybody was ranking as like a top 6 tight end every single week. And then all of a sudden the matchups against the Saints happened, which, by the way, I had Hurst, I think, down at like tight end 14 or 15 last week. So I didn't like him last week, but I'm putting him back in there. I mean, there have been seven tight ends who have finished within between 32 and 52 yards against the Chargers. Kelsey finished with more than that. I just feel like this is a matchup where there's going to be a whole lot of throwing the ball between both these teams. Herbert obviously chucks the ball up. You know, I think he's thrown averaged over 50 pass attempts over the last three games. So they're going to score on Atlanta's defense. We're going to see Matt Ryan come back. They don't have a run game either. Todd Gurley he's basically entering Jimmy Graham territory. Right. There should be plenty of pass attempts, and the Chargers have been less than efficient against tight ends. So I think Hayden Hurst is a fine start.
Charge, I want your opinion on this, because it sounded like you have Matt Ryan ranked pretty low.
I do.
So does that mean that you're not interested in starting Hurst this week either?
Well, I'm actually a little more interested in Hurst. Just the matchup is so good. Chargers have allowed touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 games to tight ends. I mean, that's a staggering stat that, you know, almost never happens in any one given season that a team can have that level of futility. And if you've watched Falcons football, which honestly, I don't recommend, Hayden Hurst, they have missed so many, and by they, I mean Matt Ryan, has missed so many opportunities for Hurst. If things had just been slightly different, Hurst would have at least 3 more touchdowns. I mean, just stupid stuff like Matt Ryan is rolling right and he misses Hayden Hurst just wide open in the end zone, just never sees him, or overthrows Hayden Hurst in the end zone. There have been just all of the close misses, Hayden Hurst diving out for balls, you know, 45 yards downfield and getting 1.5 hands on the ball and just can't reel it in. Just all these just near misses for Hayden Hurst. And I want to think that it can come together a little bit. But to get back to Ryan, I just think for just the eye test, he just isn't the same guy this year. And to see him spraying balls around the field is weird and not something that we've seen from him. And he's the circle of trust. He is outside of the circle of trust.
All right, let's talk then about a couple of guys who are right by Hurst. And let's see, because I'm looking at these guys. And again, this is one of those things where if you ask me which one of these guys who'd start, we have a thing, Tarch, where we do the patented Dan Harris shoulder shrug, which is like, it doesn't really matter. They're all the same, basically, to me. And this is what I would feel like with these guys. Tags, how would you feel Hayden Hurst versus Dalton Schultz against Cincinnati?
I will go with Hayden Hurst.
How about you, Tarch?
I have Schultz one spot higher. No team has yielded more targets to opposing tight ends than the Bengals, and they've also given up 7 scores to the position in their last 8 games. So I think Schultz is sitting on a sneaky start here.
Yeah, I have Schultz one spot ahead of Hayden Hurst, but basically the same projections. How about hero Logan Thomas over there, Tags? Who do you got, Thomas or Hurst?
I'm going to go with Hurst. I mean, Thomas's performance was fantastic, but he's got to do a follow-up on that because he was facing the toughest defense in the league against tight ends coming into that game, the Steelers. And then now he's got to go up against the new toughest team, because basically what he did to the Steelers, it knocked them off that podium.
And then you're going to have a new toughest team after that.
Obviously. So basically we have a thing on this show, and it's always been that Dan is like the biggest Logan Thomas fan there is. Every single week on the Labor Wire show, he's like, why is he not owned? He should be started every single week.
But yes.
I love it. Right. It's like our bit now, because there was one time, and this is back when Dwayne Haskins was still the QB charge, where I was like, I mean, look at his targets. And Tag was like, they're terrible targets. And I was like, what if he gets benched? Then they'll become okay targets. And he just became the guy. So legitimately, every time Logan Thomas has a good game, as in this past week only, everybody on Twitter kind of goes nuts for me. It's like, yeah, Dan, we finally did it. All my 4-8 teams finally win one with Thomas. But I will ask you, Hayden Hurst or Logan Thomas this week, Church?
Well, it's funny because I have these guys 13, 14, 15. So yeah. I got Thomas at 15 just because of the difficulty of the matchup. But obviously, as you mentioned, he overcame the Steelers matchup last week with a massive game. And I think, Dan, I'm guessing you just love quarterbacks turn to tight ends.
Correct.
That's the pathway that you want for all your great tight ends.
That's right. So all of you NFL players who are listening to this right now, if you really want to get in my good graces, make sure you teach your children to start as quarterbacks, go to that's tight ends. I will recommend starting you every show. I've got no shame about it. Absolutely. All right, guys, before we move on. So with Christmas coming up, I'm still having my kids make lists, right? I think their lists really exemplify exactly what my kids are. My daughter legitimately sits there with a Target catalog and spends an hour listing off various items she wants. And after my hand has totally cramped up from writing her list for an hour, I ask my son, "What do you want, bud?" And he responds simply, "Anything Titans." Now, bear in mind, my wife's family is a Patriots family. I'm a Jets fan. And up until Tom Brady left, a Patriots loss sent my son over the edge. Now he watches one Derrick Henry touchdown run, and the kid is a Titans fan. Whatever. It makes my holiday shopping, though, really, really easy. Because step one, go to pristineauction.com. Step two, search Tennessee Titans in the search bar. Step three, sort through the more than 100 items up for bid. That's it. Oh, an AJ Brown signed mini helmet? A Corey Davis signed jersey for $44? It's all coming your way, Mini Harris. Seriously. PristineAuction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. It is free to register. It is free to bid. Go to PristineAuction.com. See for yourself. PristineAuction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field. When you sign up, they will know we sent you. Again, that's PristineAuction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's get to our sits here, guys. We got a lot of starts there, so let's go to sits. So again, we're not necessarily saying, please do not play this person. Of course, it is much more of a, you know, I'm not quite as comfortable as maybe the rest of the industry. Let's start at running back here. Charge, who's somebody who's definitely within the top 20 who you're fading a little bit this week?
Well, we have to talk about Dalvin Cook, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to be the decision that makes and breaks playoff teams right here. Cook has powered teams into the playoffs, but has been very mortal over the last month, averaging about 3.5 yards per carry over the last 4 games, and tremendous usage, high levels of usage, including the 38 touches he had last week, which is a staggering number. Mm-hmm. Most running backs will go a whole career without doing that. And of course, I don't need to tell your listeners, they're savvy people, about how good the Buccaneers run defense is. And despite the fact that they have allowed running backs to punch in touchdowns, man, The other side of it is that the rest of those games for some great running backs, the rest of it is brutal. The 16-yard Alvin Kamara rushing performance, as an example. The 15-yard Aaron Jones rushing performance. The Josh Jacobs at 17 yards. And even though they're able to punctuate it with touchdowns, I don't know that I guarantee that the Vikings offensive line is going to provide that opportunity for Cook, who has now been held scoreless in consecutive games. So Cook comes with staggering downside, the likes of which he's never had in any other matchup. So I think it's not automatic that you press the submit button on Dalvin Cook. He is my number 17 ranked running back this week.
Wow. All right. So this is where I was going to get to, because where I was going to get to be like, okay, all those points, 100%. He's usually my number one ranked running back, maybe my number two. And yeah, I've dropped him down this week. 17th though. Tags, have you dropped him that far?
I've not. I have him at 7 right now. Yeah. But after charge, I mean, he's a Vikings guy. So here's the thing. I hope that people, when they listen to me, they understand that I am 100% not a Bears fan when I'm talking about the Bears. I'm telling you as it is and how I see the game, right? And I see that team closer than anybody else. When I hear a guy like Charge, who watches the Vikings so closely, I take his opinion like to heart, because I know he watches that team closer than ever. We already know that the Bucs are a brutal matchup for running backs. Basically, if you look at them over the last 2 years, in each year, they've allowed exactly 3.02 yards per carry. Like, no other team in the NFL over those 2 years has been under 3.5. So it's like they've been lights out. So you're going to need the passing game usage. But the running backs that have succeeded against them have scored touchdowns. So you're basically, if you do not get a touchdown from Dalvin Cook, he is not going to finish as a top 15 running back in this game. So you're basically looking for the touchdown to bail you out. Should he have the opportunity to do that in a game that's got a high total? Yeah, that's what I'm banking on, him getting into the end zone. But again, I don't see him finishing as a top 5 running back.
Ugh. I mean, I really like you, Church. I don't know if I can invite you back on this podcast, just because now I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my goodness, I have to move Cook down my rankings a little bit. It's true, because I still had him at 5. I mean, I'm very conservative, guys. You guys know this. I'm very conservative. Well, Church doesn't know this. Tags knows this. I'm very conservative in moving guys based on the matchups. I do. Of course, I factor in the matchups. Absolutely, 100%. But I'm usually sort of an underreactor to the matchups, just because I generally, it's very difficult for me if I roster Dalvin Cook to say, you know what, I'm going to start somebody like Ronald Jones maybe ahead of him. Like, it's just tough for me to necessarily do that. But yeah, this is a matchup. I mean, this is a matchup where even, you know, they didn't suffer anything after, you know, Vita Vea went out. Like, they've been just as good. So, yeah, I like the spicy take. All right, so we have lost Mike Tagliere due to some technical difficulties. He was actually going to have to probably jump off a little bit early. So, Church, are you okay if it's just me and you to finish out this pod?
We're going to carry the load. And frankly, we were doing most of the heavy lifting anyway. So I think most listeners won't even notice the difference.
It's so unnecessary to this entire process anyway. That's what he always is. But okay, let's go back to Cook then, because that's where we were in the middle of. You probably got a couple more points. So go ahead, hit me with some Dalvin Cook stuff.
Well, he looks tired, and he should be tired right now. And, you know, he's still running, I think, pretty hard. But for those of us that have watched a lot of, you know, every snap of Vikings football, you can see somebody who's wearing down a bit. And just want to reemphasize, the Vikings offensive line just doesn't have maulers. He's still got to make most of his own yards. And this is just not the matchup for a guy that's got to make his own yards. And so I think there's more downside than people are probably giving Dalvin Cook. And to me, it's not automatic that he should. I think he's a flex level starter this week.
All right.
He may have other flex level players, receivers, that are a safer play than the downside that Dalvin Cook gives you, which is a 20-yard rushing game, 10 receiving yards, and no touchdown.
All right. So let me put a couple names out there, okay? Would you rather start Dalvin Cook or Wayne Gallman against Arizona?
I have Gallman a couple of spots higher. I know the five-game touchdown streak came to an end, but he still set career highs in rushing yards last week and yards per carry at 8. And he did it against the Seahawks, that had been a very good run defense over the course of the year. But they've been dinged up a little bit over the last 3 games. They're giving up 102 rushing yards and over a touchdown and a half per game to opposing running backs. And Gallman's the go-to guy there. So I like Gallman.
How about Gallman or the guy you mentioned earlier, Dalvin Cook or Ronald Jones?
Yeah, I do have Cook at 3 spots higher than Ronald Jones. But if you ask me who's got more upside, I think Ronald Jones has frankly got a much higher ceiling than Dalvin Cook has in this game.
I love the spicy take. I really do. I mean, that because it's going to look, if you made it to the playoffs right now and you have Dalvin Cook and you are going to be out there and you're going to bench him based on the matchup, then kudos to you. Okay, because that's literally, I think, and that's probably one of my limitations. Forget about as an analyst, I'll rank players where I have them projected to go, but it's really about as a player, I would feel so hesitant to do that. But if you're saying the charge, I want to hear you say it. You're in the playoffs. You have one spot that you can only play at running back because your other running back is Derrick Henry or whatever.
Yeah.
You have both Dalvin Cook and Wayne Gallman on your roster. You are starting Gallman and you're benching Cook if you can't play him as a flex.
Yeah, if I can't play him as a flex, Cook's is the odd man out of this. And you know what? It takes nards of steel if you're going to bench Dalvin Cook, who got you here. But just I don't want to risk sitting on a 4-point fantasy game for my running back. And that's the very plausible downside that Dalvin Cook brings you in this game. It's going to be a Kirk Cousins-led passing game.
I like it. All right. So my guy is going to be a little lower on the list, okay, for me. But it's a guy who's ranked 16th in ECR, who I'm fading a little bit. I still have him ranked 20th, so I'd still be starting it. And it's J.K. Dobbins. And really, the issue is he produced yesterday 11 carries, 71 yards, and the touchdown. But you look at the way they broke down the snaps, 21 snaps for him, 18 for Edwards, 11 for Ingram. I kind of thought, and maybe it was just the fact that it was his first game back after the COVID, but he did have extra time since he could have been activated technically last week. I kind of thought that, okay, what we saw the week before when it was his, it was entirely his backfield. They realized they're turning it over entirely to him and they just didn't. I mean, I'll still start somebody like J.K. Dobbins, but the snap count last night is something that really, really worried me. How do you feel about Dobbins coming into this week against Cleveland?
I've got him ranked at 23 this week. I'm always going to be concerned about the fact that they don't give him the ball inside the 10-yard line. They've only given up two carries to anybody other than Gus Edwards all season inside the 10. So that part really caps the upside that J.K. Dobbins brings. And, you know, I feel like this is, you know, if I ran the team, it would be different. Dobbins would get a ton of work and Mark Ingram be a free agent after this season. Actually, I think Mark Ingram will be a free agent after this season. In fact, I'll go beyond that. If you're in a dynasty league or an empire league and you're already thinking 2021, you know, I'm thinking of landing places for Mark Ingram right now as a still, you know, quasi viable 31-year-old running back and where he could go that could have some value because he's available. He's available in a lot of leagues right now. And that might be an interesting stash depending on where he ends up.
That's a good call. All right, let's go to wide receiver. Who's somebody who's, you know, within the top, let's say 30 of our expert consensus rankings, kind of a guaranteed start who you're not quite as excited about this week?
Yeah, you know, we've touched on this before. Calvin Ridley is traditionally very safe, 90 yards or a touchdown in 9 of 11 games. Chargers have allowed the fewest receptions to receivers. Only one receiver's top 75 yards in 5 games. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm just Matt Ryan's outside the circle of trust. I don't know that I can go to war with him. And so I'm a little bit more hesitant. I still have him ranked 11th.
Right.
But I'm a little bit more hesitant on Calvin Ridley than most people are.
Thank you for pointing that out, because I would want to say, yes, Calvin Ridley is 6th in our expert consensus rankings, because some people here are like, is Charge telling me to bench Calvin Ridley is like outside the top 30? No, that's not what you're saying. But let me look at a couple of guys. How about both Vikings guys or Calvin Ridley this week?
I mentioned Ridley's at 11. Thielen is at 12. I've got Justin Jefferson up at 6. I think I trust Jefferson and I like his particular matchups a little bit better than I like Adam Thielen. So, yeah, I've got almost the exact same on Thielen. And I think Jefferson has become just a more reliable and less touchdown dependent player than Adam Thielen has.
Yeah, I agree. I always rank them very close. But yeah, it is something now where Jefferson is the guy who, if I'm forced to start only one of them, it would be him. Last one. How about Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins against the Giants?
I've got Hopkins lower. You know, he has not always succeeded in these tough matchups. And man, has he had a lot of tough matchups.
Yeah.
Jeez, his one-on-one, you know, cornerback matchups are ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he gets James Bradbury, who's shut down almost everybody he's faced. And it's weird to say, but is any defense hotter than New York's right now?
I know.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. They're playing extremely, extremely well. The entire team is. So yeah, I agree with you. I do have fading, certainly, DeAndre Hopkins as compared to consensus. So again, I'm going to go a little lower here, still within the top 30, but I really want your insight on this, Charge, because I'm at a loss. Chase Claypool He is 26th right now in our expert consensus rankings, and I love Chase Claypool. I love him as a player. He played 30 snaps in this last game. James Washington played 37 snaps. He ran the fewest routes. I don't understand what happened. I don't know whether or not that's what we're going to be looking at next week at Buffalo. And without knowing that, it gives me a ton of hesitation with starting him this week. Do you have any insight into exactly what this was in this game here this yesterday?
Two days ago? Well, not particularly. That more than anybody else has got on the outside. You know, he had two drops in two games?
Yeah, they're all dropping passes, though, right? Like Deontay Johnson, you've got a better chance he's going to drop it than catch it at this point.
No kidding. Well, Deontay Johnson drops more balls than a hernia specialist. That's, you know, it's no comparison there. That's the ongoing issue with Claypool is he's really a touchdown-dependent receiver in many respects, and he'll see plenty of Tre'Davious White, which is not a great matchup in this game. And so I've got him. You've got it. Your group's got him at 26. I have him at 27.
Yeah, okay, so you're there. So I'm fading him a little bit more for me personally because I've got him at 30, but it is something where I just don't feel comfortable with it at this point. I don't really know. I mean, look, he's ranked as a wide receiver 3. So chances are if I've rostered him and I've gotten to this point, I'm probably starting him, but I'm nervous about it. I don't get what it is, and it's not the greatest matchup. So yeah, somebody who I'm fading a little bit. How about at quarterback? Who's somebody who, you know, most people are looking at as a guaranteed start who you're fading a little bit?
Lamar Jackson. I know he threw the two touchdowns on Tuesday night, but man, you know, they barely let him even pass the ball and usually not very far downfield. And yes, this is a wobbly Cleveland secondary, but the matchups don't even matter. The only team that's throwing for less yardage than Baltimore is the Jets. And there's just no guarantee that you're even going to get 150 yards and one touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson's arm. So that part worries me a fair amount. And I know he threw three touchdowns in the season opener against the Browns, but that was a million years ago. And it feels like an anomaly now. So I continue to have worries about Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, Dan. Mm-hmm. I get so nervous about the low floor guys that the rest of my roster is going to have to overcome. And it's not to say that you can only put together a safe team. You still have to take some shots, but And I do also know that Lamar Jackson's rushing usually gives him a protected floor, but I don't know. I continue to be more nervous than most on Lamar Jackson right now, sitting at quarterback number 10 for me this week.
Yeah, and he's sixth. He was my guy too, actually, Tarch. So I'm right there with you. It's just, you know, I realize, of course, he had the big game against Dallas, but you talked about it like it was very little passing, and the fact is that Dallas's run defense is laughable at this point, so it's really difficult for him to go into this one. So let me ask you, how about, would you prefer Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray this week against the Giants?
I've got Kyler Murray way down at quarterback 15 this week. Again, Giants, you know, it's just they've allowed 17 or fewer points in three straight games, and they've faced some good teams in there, including Seattle. So I didn't think Kyler Murray played particularly well last week in a tough matchup. And I don't know that granted he got to three touchdowns, but that doesn't mean I think he played particularly well. And the rushing is way, way off. So I think there's a lot of reason for concern on Kyler.
I completely agree with you. And I think, look, again, it's why sort of Kenyon Drake's stock has risen in recent weeks, because it's no longer Murray stealing, you know, the goal line touchdowns here. They're handing it off. And whether it's the shoulder, whether it's just a change in philosophy, it's certainly something that dings him a little bit in the rankings. Last one, how about Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson against Chicago?
I was really nervous about Deshaun Watson going into last week's game, and he came out of that fine. I still have Watson at 13, and I think I'm going to talk myself into moving him up over the course of the week a little bit. The Chicago secondary is not the same as it used to be. They've allowed back-to-back massive games to Stafford and Rodgers. Still, when I look at Fuller's targets and who he can throw to, I say to myself, okay, is Kiki Cutie really going to carry this pass offense again? Is that really possible, or is that a one-game anomaly? And I we've seen for the bulk of the season, Chicago's pass defense was very good. Fuller and Jalen Johnson are good players. So I don't know. I'm equivocating on Watson more than I have on anybody else that we've talked about here, because I can see two varying alternatives to how this thing could go. Tell me how you feel on Watson.
Yeah, it's weird. I have Watson ranked for me 10th. So Watson is a guy who, again, I think without Fuller, I think it's just sort of a different player. As much as the Chicago defense doesn't scare me that much anymore, I think his upside, for the most part, is probably going to be a little capped. Because I think, look, we've seen his splits with and without Fuller throughout his career. It's just, it's a stark difference at this point. But again, he is doing it pretty much all himself. He's going to add probably on to the rushing floor, which, again, I like. I like getting a rushing floor from my quarterbacks when I can get there. But if I'm choosing between him and Lamar Jackson, I'm going to lean Jackson in that scenario, as are you, as of at least right now. Because, again, they both sort of, neither one of them comes with an uber high floor or anything like that. So I will lean with Jackson in that scenario. But I'm worried about Watson. But if he got me to the dance, I'm probably sticking with him in that sense rather than sort of, you know, finding someone's stream. Again, more of my philosophy in how I sort of roll in fantasy, which is I play the matchup, but for the most part, I lean on my guys that kind of brought me there. How about tight end here? Who's somebody who, you know, people are ranking as a guaranteed start who you're a little nervous about?
TJ Hockenson worries me. He had 4 catches for 62 yards when they first met back in week 2, but since that game, only 2 other tight ends have topped 60 yards against Green Bay, and they've only given up 3 touchdowns to the position all season. And we've seen Hockenson, you know, like a lot of tight ends that aren't basically Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, with a lot of ups and downs. And this one worries me that it can be more down than up. And so I've got Hockenson at tight end 9, which is probably the lowest ranking I've had for him in over a month.
Yeah, that is a low ranking. Yeah, for me with Hockenson, it's just, you know, I get it. I think it really comes down to the fact that, man, like you mentioned, I hate every tight end. You know, I don't feel comfortable with any tight end, right?
No.
And so long as Kenny Golladay is out, I feel pretty comfortable that he's going to get the workload. And they will need points in this game. Now, my guess is, you know, again, DeAndre Swift is supposed to be back. They'll try to rely on the run as much as possible, but you know the Packers are going to put up points, so they're going to need points. So it's hard for me to fade a guy like Hockenson. But yeah, there are certainly, you know, it's not really the matchup that you're necessarily looking for. For me, my guy's Dallas Goedert, and really it's just about the quarterback. And I don't know what we're going to see at this point from Jalen Hurts. And our rankers are sort of ranking him, you know, against New Orleans, just like, oh, he's just an automatic start, guaranteed go. And I'm not going to fault anyone for starting Dallas Goedert, but I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea what to expect from this offense on a good day. I have no idea what to expect from it with Jalen Hurts in this matchup here. So Goddard is a guy who I think, you know, we talked about it. It's a pretty decent week for streaming tight ends. He's a guy who I think I'd be willing to fade a little bit. How are you evaluating him when you have this new quarterback situation against New Orleans?
Well, I've got him way down at tight end 16. I'm extremely nervous about Dallas Goedert. He's going to have to share with Zach Ertz. And granted, they've been able to do that in the past, and they've both been able to get fed. But as you mentioned, this is not Carson Wentz anymore. And Wentz was the guy that could feed both. The Saints are a bad matchup. They've allowed a tight end, haven't allowed a tight end touchdown in 7 straight games. And over those 7 games, tight ends are averaging 19 yards per game. As to the position, that's it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a reason for great concern with Dallas Goedert. So I'm absolutely with you, Dan.
Yeah, my guess is that that ranking is going to go down a little bit as people. I feel like sometimes in the beginning of the week, people sort of are like, well, I'm going to rank Goedert here and I'm going to do this. And then they kind of dig into it. So he's a guy who I'll be fading this week for sure. All right, let's get to some deep sleepers here. Who's a running back, let's say, you know, outside the top, whatever, 36, guy who, you know, most fantasy managers are not looking to start, who you're like, oh, if you're in a pinch, maybe get away with this guy.
Naheem Hines, a dart throw every time they play a game, he's a dart throw. But if I'm going to throw darts, I'd like to do it against the Raiders.
Yep.
The Jets backups ran all over the Raiders last week, and only the Lions and Texans have given up more running back scores than the Raiders have. So, you know, the limited volume is obviously a worry to no small degree. But we've seen running backs get it done through the air against the Raiders a number of times this year. So maybe Hines will do enough, get enough carries and enough total touches and receptions that he can get something done here.
Yeah, I love that call because all it involves is not knowing what's going to happen in the Indianapolis backfield. And that's where I like to live because I still, you know, it's funny. How do you feel out of curiosity? Because Jonathan Taylor, you know, it's of course a great matchup. And Jonathan Taylor is ranked as a guaranteed no doubt start, number 12 in ECR. Are you that confident in Taylor?
I have him dead on at 12.
Okay.
So, yep, I'm feel one way or another. I'd like to believe he's not going to get himself benched again. And I think those days are past him. So yeah, I just think there's too much upside in a juicy matchup here to leave him on the bench.
And the good news is, again, even if Taylor does get the most carries, and I'm with you, by the way, I roster Taylor in tons of places. I also have him exactly at 12. That I think that Hines is a guy who can still factor in regardless, because he is brought in constantly. He does get goal line work sometimes, which is, you know, kind of comical at times, but he will factor into the passing game for sure. So I like that call. How about a wide receiver? Let's go deep here. Let's go somebody outside the top 50 in our expert consensus rankings, who you might be feeling a little bit this week.
Darnell Mooney up against Houston. You know, we've seen Mooney, and I wish Mike were still here for us to chip in on our Bears discussion.
Yep.
We've seen Mooney's usage increase slowly over the course of the season. Mitch Trubisky, as we mentioned earlier, playing reasonably well. And then there's the Houston secondary, which, needless to say, is in utter and total disarray, chaos. I trust him more than, say, another second-tier player from the same team, Anthony Miller. And Mooney's got some deep upside to him. So, yeah, I think there's a nice opportunity for Mooney to get a little something done. I hoped if you got to the playoffs, you're not in a spot where you're going to have to play him. But, you know, there's an opportunity. You know, T.Y. Hilton just resurrected his career against Houston last week.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had a poster child, it would be Logan Thomas. But my other guy would be T.Y. Hilton, because that was also a guy I was like, why is everyone ranking him so low? And then he did nothing forever and then only to explode here. So out of curiosity, I mean, I just want a number. Again, we're talking deep guys here in the rankings. Yes. Anyway, where do you actually have Mooney ranked in your rankings this week so far?
Well, let's see, 52.
Yeah. Okay. So again, that's a guy who, look, I know you're sort of like, I've made the playoffs, I can't believe I have to rely on Darnell Mooney, but 52 is kind of basically in that borderline sort of flex conversation where you want to talk about it. And I think it's a good call, because I do think that in this game, I think the Bears are going to win this game. And I do think that in addition to running it, which is, you know, I think that they will rely on Montgomery a lot.
For sure.
Trubisky did look, other than the, you know, obviously the fumble, which may or may not have been his fault, but he looked good last week, certainly throwing the ball. I think they're going to have a decent day passing in this one. And I agree with you that Mooney, other than Robinson, is really the guy who's going to get involved. So I do like that call. Let's get to your start of the week. Who's a guy who you're just feeling, all right, this is my guy. I feel very confident in starting him this week.
Now, this can be anybody, right?
Anybody you want. There are no rules.
Regardless of anything else. Okay. A.J. Brown. And he's my number two ranked wide receiver. I've got Devontae Adams one. But what a fantastic matchup for him. And, you know, last week he failed to score for just the third time this season, but he's notched at least 85 yards and or scored in 8 of his last 9 games. And this is a Jaguars secondary that is in ruins. He's going to face a lot of Trey Herndon, who's surrendered 4 scores and a passer rating of 123 in his coverage to this point. They've allowed a 100-yard receiver in 8 straight games, and another one's coming to A.J. Brown.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And really, you know, remember, he didn't score last week, but he was like an inch from scoring because he caught that ball, right? And it knocked him out. That's what it took to not have him score in that game. A.J. Brown is one of my favorite players. You have him second, right? I'm second as well. I love the call. I think he's going to have a monstrous game this week. How about somebody who you're sitting, somebody who you're fading a little bit this week? Who's your sit of the week?
My sit of the week is going to be Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he goes up against the Rams. So already, it's already probably the best overall pass defense in the NFL. And Newton wasn't going to pass his way to victory anyway. Now, the Rams have seen a bunch of mobile quarterbacks. And you're going to look and go, well, mobile quarterbacks did okay against them. Carson Wentz chipped in a short touchdown. Josh Allen got a touchdown. Even Kyle Allen had like a 1-yarder.
Right.
But I can't trust my fantasy playoffs to a guy who is non-functional at his position as a passer, and I have to get a rushing touchdown from Cam Newton, or I'm potentially looking at a 3 fantasy point game. That's just way too much risk that I want to take. So Cam Newton to me is just somebody I can live with it for the first 13 weeks of the season. I can take the ups and downs and know that I've got another game coming. I can't in the fantasy playoffs rely on a quarterback who has to rush touchdowns.
All right, let me ask you something. Would you even start Cam Newton, assuming everybody was available, whatever? I mean, is he even a starter for you in a 2 QB league for this week with this matchup on the short week? Remember, he's banged up too. That's another thing. He's been battling whatever it is, the rib injury. Does he even fall within your top, like, okay, I'm in a two QB league. Sure, I'll use him as my second QB. Or where are we exactly?
He's my number 16 ranked quarterback. Okay. So probably in a two QB league because my other quarterback will offset some of that risk.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm apparently looking at expanded rosters, and I can probably live with the risk a lot easier in that particular scenario.
Yeah. You want to know for me, Charge? 22. 22 is Newton. Oh, yeah.
I love you.
I'm with you, man. This is where we are. This is what I'm saying. We always have it. Somebody comes in and be like, I'm fading this guy. This is where I have him. And somebody has to come in and be like, I have him 40 spots lower than you, man. That's where I am. Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, that's even a starter for me in two QB leagues, barely, of course, assuming 12-team leagues. But yes, I want apps on a short week against the Rams where you talked about it. He needs, you know, you had the game early in the season, whatever it was against the Seahawks where he threw for nearly 400. Those days are gone, man. Yeah. Like this is just not going to happen in this matchup. You need the touchdown. I'm not relying on it whatsoever. But that is perfect because it leads us into our very brief preview of the game tomorrow night. And that is, of course, against the Patriots and the Rams. So we know we are not starting Cam Newton. Let me put it like this. Are you starting anyone on the New England Patriots in this matchup tomorrow night?
I don't have starting grades on anybody in that side. You can't trust Damian Harris. He doesn't get any goal line work and he doesn't catch a pass and the matchup's not good. And I don't feel like I can't start White. He had 1 yard last week. And so even with Rex Burkhead out, I don't think, you know, I can't put my playoff hands in his life. So no, I don't think it's a Patriot that I feel comfortable starting. Do you?
No, not anywhere. The closest person that I would start in this matchup for Patriot is Damian Harris. And he's 36th for me at running back. Like there's just no way I could feel comfortable starting anybody. And it's funny because at various times, these guys had sort of worked themselves into guaranteed start territory, right? At one point in the season, Cam Newton was a guy you were like, I'm definitely rolling him out there. At one point, Damian Harris was the guy you were like, oh, look at this. He took over this backfield. At one point, Jacoby Myers he's getting a 40% target share. We got to throw him out there every single time. Now, legitimately, especially in a matchup like this against the Rams, avoid all your Patriots. I'm in agreement. Now, the Rams, I mean, I think Goff is an avoid, right? You're not starting Jared Goff. Okay, we agree with that.
Quarterback 20.
Right. Yes, absolutely. What about the wide receivers here? Are you just, you know, going to the well guaranteed with Woods and Kupp?
No. I don't like either matchup particularly. And let's talk Kupp for a minute, who I've punished down to 41 in my ranking this week.
Wow.
I know, okay. Which is probably too low. I bet at some point I'll nudge him back up just because he is pretty reliable. But he's got Jonathan Jones in the slot. And he has been very good. And New England's limited the last six opposing slot receivers to under 50 yards, including Keenan Allen last week, who had like 43.
Yep.
So slot receivers have suffered against this defense most of this year. And I'm really nervous about this matchup. And I just don't trust Goff. And if I don't trust Goff, I have a really hard time getting behind his receivers, especially in a tricky matchup like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny because he's 22nd in ECR. I'm fading him compared to that. I'm 28th, but you are really pulling him low. I completely agree, though. We can all agree this is a bad matchup for Kupp. It's not somebody who you can feel comfortable starting. But yeah, that low, that's bold, Charge. I like your rankings, Charge. I like it. I like when you're just out there and you're just like, nah, this is where I'm going with him. I mean, kudos to you. That's good. So let's talk about the running backs, okay? Cam Akers, obviously, has been coming on. You know, he's scored in three straight games. He got a lot of work, but still fantasy managers are very hesitant. They're in their fantasy playoffs. Tags and I were actually talking about it off air before we started recording. How do you feel about Akers this week?
I'm scared. You know, the upside's there. His 63% snap share last week was the highest by any Ram back all year long. Mm-hmm. And I want to believe that there's a changing of the guard, but can anybody promise that or even come close to promising that? Hell no, you can't. And it's a tricky matchup. Patriots have been good against opposing running backs. They've had a few hiccups here and there to randos like Jeff Wilson and Zach Moss. But, you know, outside of those weird hiccup games, they've been really good. And I'm very nervous about the rotation, goal line carries. Still, he's my number 28 ranked running back. It means to me that's flex start territory. And I think I would, you know, if it's a flex guy, I could still start him, but he's the only running back out of that group that I'm touching this week.
I'm right there with you. I have him at exactly 28, just like you do. In expert consensus, he's 24. So that, I mean, I know that's on the border, but that's an RB2. I'm just not there. I want to be there. I like Akers a lot, But there, I mean, I'm thinking about what we saw from, you know, Raheem Mostert in this most recent game, right? Where suddenly it was, oh, sorry, like you thought it was going to be Raheem Mostert, but he's just going to split, you know, touches and snaps with Jeff Wilson. So it's something where I'm not going to feel comfortable at this point going with him. And finally, tight ends. I mean, I assume you're not looking to start either Gerald Everett or Tyler Higbee in this one.
I need one of them to go down in a freak dirigible accident.
Is that the only way, by the way? Does it have to be an actual dirigible accident, or can it be any?
I think so. I mean, if it was like hit by a bus, it wouldn't be quite the same. I want some of the theatrics involved with a flaming blimp going down over the horizon.
Yeah. Well, I think if, you know, if they had like a bicycle accident and they sprained their ankle and they couldn't play, I'd still be willing to start the other one then. But I agree. I hear where you're coming from with that one. Charge, this is the first time you and I have ever talked. Actually, it was really great to finally get to talk to you. You are a legend in the industry. Remind everybody where they can find you and your great work.
GuillotineLeagues.com. And it's a really fun new format. Mike was alive in our Guillotine League up until I think 2 weeks ago. So we did pretty well. We start the season with 17 teams. And I don't know if you know the format, Dan, but then every week the low scoring team gets cut and all the players from that team's roster goes to the waiver wire. So it's just pandemonium on the waiver wire as a whole team gets cut. And Tag's team, when it got cut, was freaking awesome. So let me just tell you for a second what it looks like, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because again, he survived a long time. He made it until, I want to say, I think it was just 2 weeks ago. Let me go to the Guillotine League graveyard here. His team, we made it to week 10. And he ended up ejecting to the rest of us Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf, Dalvin Cook, Keenan Allen, AJ Brown,
yeah,
among others.
I mean, that's what makes Guillotine League so awesome, right? Is that even if you have the most stacked team in the world, you have that one bad week and suddenly everybody is available to the other teams that are surviving in that league. They're really great. If you haven't played, by the way, and I'm not just saying this because Charge is on the show, Guillotine Leagues are awesome. Everybody should try them out because it's really, really just a fun thing. I didn't realize the Tags. I'm going to tease him now when I talk to him after this about that. But yeah, you can think about that. People who survive, they get, and it's for, I assume it's what, waiver claims or fab?
Yeah, bids? It's fab. Yep. $1,000 to start the season. And so it becomes such a unique and different way to think about fantasy when, you know, it's week one and, you know, here comes Nick Chubb on the waiver wire. And you're like, well, geez, what, you know, I could start Nick Chubb the rest of the season.
Right.
And just throw half of my fab in right now in week one and just make sure I stay alive for half of the year. Yeah. Or do you want to be the guy that's got money left at the end of the year? Because at the end of the year, it's teams like Mike's that ends up getting cut.
Yeah, it's a ton of strategy. Again, if you haven't played, go check it out. GuillotineLeagues.com. For sure, but it's really adds a whole new element of strategy. So it's a ton of fun. All right. So that's going to do it for today. Again, sorry about the technical issues with Tags. We had to jump off a little early today anyway, but this one was unplanned. But Charge did a great job, of course, carrying the show basically all by himself. Remember to enter our James Robinson signed helmet giveaway. Just leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to submit it. Thanks to Omaha Steaks. Remember, go to omahasteaks.com, type Fantasy Pros in the search bar, order today. Check out the deluxe grillers assortment. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Fantasy Pros. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Guys, don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. Pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. Tags and I are going to be back tomorrow doing our DFS show. I'll talk to you then.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.